The week started on a positive note for technology stocks until the ugly market reaction to Samsung's blockbuster earnings turned sentiment sour again. Samsung was heavily sold today despite a 19-fold increase in its quarterly profit and a strong earnings beat. Meanwhile, the re-escalation of the tensions in the Strait of Hormuz led to a modest rebound in oil prices this morning, but the move was tempered by the news that Saudi Arabia has now sharply cut the price for its Asian buyers to help the market absorb the ample oil supply. So welcome to Swiss Codes Daily Market Talk. It's Tuesday, 7th of July. I'm İpek Özkardeşkaya. We will talk about global macroeconomics and technology. But before we do, and as always, please keep in mind that opinions are my own and this is not financial advice.
This show is brought to you by SwissQuote.
So the week started on a cautious note in Europe, but on a better mood in US technology-heavy indices. Nasdaq 100, for example, advanced more than 1% on Monday with chipmakers in the US leading gains. Broadcom jumped 3.70% yesterday after announcing that it extends an agreement to provide new custom chips to Apple through 2031, while VanEck Semiconductor ETF added another 2% yesterday ahead of Samsung Electronics earnings announcement that was due today. But the latter didn't go well. I mean, it did go well looking at the raw numbers, really. Samsung actually delivered very, very strong and, more importantly, stronger than expected results today. Its operating profit rose to nearly 90 trillion won. That's the equivalent of 58 billion US dollars. Its quarterly profit surged 19-fold and the profit margin for the memory chip business was around 80%, also showing the incredible pricing power that the company has today thanks to the booming AI demand. Yet, Samsung shares tanked 9% in South Korea after the announcement of the results, pulling the Korean KOSPI index 8% lower with it. Yes, the Korean KOSPI index is down almost as much as a single company's stock in there. This is how much the Korean KOSPI index has become overly dependent on two companies' health. Trading their stock again today to give the market room to breathe and to investors to calm down a little bit. Elsewhere, the chip and chip-related stocks in Asia pulled back severely as well. Kioxia Holdings in Japan, for example, which is a direct competitor to Samsung in non-flash memory business, lost more than 10%, while Tokyo Electron is down by 3.5% at the time I'm talking here this morning. So the question is, how did this happen despite a decent earnings beat from Samsung? Well, the answer is quite simple, is that the real expectation from investors, so the so-called whisper number, was even higher than what analysts had penciled in. The whisper number is the unofficial earnings target that circulates among investors, traders, and portfolio managers ahead of a company's results. And here's the catch. The whisper number always circulates, but in some periods, like during the dot-com bubble and seemingly during these times, these unofficial expectations become almost more important than Wall Street forecasts. And when it happens, companies could beat analyst estimates, and by far, and still see their shares tumble simply because they failed to meet what the market and investors had quietly convinced themselves was achievable. Unsurprisingly so, when valuations become this stretch, investors stop asking whether earnings are good or blockbuster. They simply ask whether they are good enough to justify the price already paid for these companies. Everybody agrees, I guess, that a 19-fold profit growth is exceptional, but the stock price of Samsung was multiplied by more than 7-fold in the past year. So here is the result. In summary, today's ugly reaction to exceptional Samsung earnings is a reminder that in richly valued markets like the one that we see today, meeting expectations is hard. Companies must beat the whisper number as well, and that is one of the classic characteristics of late stage bull markets when expectations begin to outrun fundamentals. Voila. So today, European and US futures are looking quite cautious, suggesting a pullback in today's trading session. Lower technology appetite is coupled today by a slight rebound in oil prices on news that two ships have been attacked in the Strait of Hormuz. The letter could hint at a possible re-escalation of the Middle East tensions, which could in turn start applying fresh positive pressure on energy prices. But for now, the oil market is driven strongly by ample supply story. The release from the strategic oil reserves and the tepid demand from China since the start of the Iranian war led to oversupply in some key markets. And now, the oil tankers full of oil that were waiting for months to leave the Strait of Hormuz are sailing through looking for buyers. There is apparently so much oil on sea right now that Saudi Arabia made a big cut to the price of its main crude for Asian buyers and started selling its oil at a discount to the Asian benchmark, and that for the very first time since 2020, the pandemic months where demand for oil, remember, had dried out so violently that oil prices were trading in the negative territory. Remember? So we are now, in terms of the Saudi Arabian crude price, in a similar situation than that times. As such, oil markets are grappling with two opposite headlines this week. On one hand, we have the rising tensions in the Strait of Hormuz, and on the other hand, the big price discount from Saudi Arabia to help market absorb its oil rapidly because there is so much oil on sea. So I believe that the latter, the ample supply side of the story, will outweigh the price action in the coming days, unless the traffic in the Strait of Hormuz comes at a jeopardy and or the US and Iran peace negotiations take a sour turn. Until then, any price rebound that we might see in oil prices will likely meet sellers. For US crude, we will likely see strong resistance into the $70 per barrel psychological level and above that level into the $75 per barrel mark, which is the 200-day moving average. So overall today, and in the absence of important economic data, the markets will be digesting the ugly market reaction to Samsung earnings, the possibility of a re-escalation of the tensions in the Middle East, and the potential implications for the global risk appetite. In the FX markets, the US dollar is stronger this morning. Gold is softer as a sign that the yellow metal is still moving in tandem with risk assets instead of a negative correlation with the latter. Its hedging power, therefore, is not settled just yet. The euro dollar, on the other hand, is being offered above the 114.50 mark, while the dollar yen eases below the 162 level on fear that the speculative short positions against Japanese yen may have gone too far, hinting at the possibility of a sharp correction in this market, especially in case of a direct FX intervention from the Japanese authorities. According to the latest CFTC data, leverage funds have not been this short against the Japanese yen since 2007. Meanwhile, the Japanese 10-year yield consolidated is above the 2.80% mark this morning, still significantly lower than the US 10-year yield that stands near the 4.5% level. But the gap is closing, raising risk that at one point, the Japanese investors will be repatriating their funds back to Japan, vacuuming part of a roughly 10 trillion US dollar worth of Japanese funds presently held in foreign assets, including several trillion dollars invested in overseas bonds and equities. The amount invested is so huge that even a modest shift of these funds back home could tighten global liquidity, lift overseas bond yields, and put pressure on risk assets worldwide. The last time this happened, remember, was summer 2024 on thin summer liquidity. But this time around, such a road accident could be more severe given that the Bank of Japan is now tightening its monetary policy to fight inflation in Japan and also fight the weakening Japanese yen. While on the other hand, Sanae Takaichi's government is pushing for ample government spending to lift growth. In short, the BOJ is stuck between a rock and a hard place. The only way to rebalance the Japanese markets is obviously by normalizing the interest rates in Japan, and the latter would not only be painful for Japan, but could have undesirable ramifications across global financial markets at a time valuations, especially technology valuations, look pretty stretched. Then we have the ample liquidity from elsewhere that could eventually temper a potential negative impact, but the risks are still there to be considered. So this is all for today. I'm İpek Özkardeşkaya, and thank you for joining me, and thank you for all your beautiful and supportive comments. I hope this episode of Market Talk has been helpful and it has been insightful to you. So please Do not hesitate to leave your comments, your reactions, and your questions below, as usual. Follow us on Instagram, on X, on LinkedIn, but also on WhatsApp, Threads, Telegram, and Blue Sky for regular market updates. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for daily market comments. And please, please don't forget to hit the like button on these videos to let us know that you enjoy them. So I will meet you again tomorrow. And until then, good day trading.
Trading and investing carry risks, including capital loss. CFDs and digital assets are volatile and not suitable for everyone. SwissQuote assumes no responsibility for accuracy or losses from its use. Products and services are offered only where legally permitted.